We're going to look this evening at that passage we read earlier from 2 Kings chapter 5. I've often been asked, where is the most memorable place you've ever preached? And it's hard to answer that one. It may have been a prison in India with a guard standing next to me with his rifle at the ready in case someone tried to escape. Or on another occasion, taking a Bible convention on a rubbish tip for the people who lived there on the rubbish tip. But the most memorable time I spent as a preacher was preaching in a leper colony, seeing these poor people with their limbs so spoiled by this terrible disease. Well, this evening we're going to look at a man who had that terrible disease. His name was Naaman. We read about him there in 2 Kings 5. He was the commander of the Syrian army about 800 BC. He was a brave, courageous man, and under his military leadership, the Syrian army had achieved many notable victories. And as a result, he was held in high esteem by the king of Syria. He had just about everything the world has to offer: power and position and possessions and popularity. In the eyes of the world, he was a great man. But he contracted this terrible disease called leprosy. It was a terrible, deadly complaint. But this passage from the Bible tells us of a young girl who'd been captured in a military raid on Israel and was now a servant girl for Naaman's wife. And she told him, through his wife, about a prophet back in her home country who could help him. And Naaman eventually went to Israel and was cured of this leprosy. That's the story, and it's a true story, and it's full of vital spiritual lessons for us this evening. Look with me, first of all, at the complaint from which he was suffering: leprosy. Not because we're interested this evening in medical studies, vital as they are, but because leprosy so clearly illustrates a spiritual disease which afflicts us all. Leprosy is a disease of the body, but it portrays so clearly, so vividly, a terrible disease of the soul, which all men and women have. The Bible tells us, and it's quite correct, that we're afflicted by a terrible disease called sin. In the beginning, God made men and women perfect, but they thought they could do better than God. They thought they knew better than God. And sin came in, and ever since, men and women have been afflicted by this terrible spiritual disease. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, says the Bible, and the truth is not in us. You may be a decent, respectable, honorable person in the eyes of your neighbors, a worthy citizen, a pillar of society, but like the rest of us, you're afflicted by this disease called sin. Naaman was a decent, upright, honorable man, but he was a leper. And in the eyes of our friends and neighbors, we may be honorable and decent people, but in the eyes of God, we have this disease. Let me tell you more about it. As we look at Naaman's leprosy, we have a picture, an illustration of our spiritual disease called sin. For a start, it's an awful, loathsome, horrible disease. That was so evident in that leper colony way back in 1992. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that those poor lepers in the colony were loathsome and horrible. Far from it, they were lovely people in many ways. But the disease from which they were suffering was horrible and loathsome. Those dreadful sores, those deformed limbs, the poor woman with both hands kind of rotted away. and it had spread to her face, and her face was awfully disfigured. It's a horrible, vile disease, leprosy. And spiritually speaking, sin is like that, a horrible, vile disease. The essence of sin, you see, is rebellion against God. The essence of sin is selfishness and self-centeredness and pride. We're living in a time when the tendency is to dismiss sin as a mere trifle. Even Christians now describe it as brokenness rather than sin. But it is a terrible, loathsome disease. And it's all of us have this terrible disease. It's loathsome, horrible. God hates it. Our pride, our jealousy, our greed, our selfishness, the way we ignore God, it's offensive to him. He can't bear to look at it. The Bible actually says he is of purer eyes than to look upon sin. He can't do it because it is so horrible. There in the leper colony, you see the leper coming with those dreadful sores and festering wounds and the terrible gnarled fingers and toes. And your reaction is to turn away in a much more serious way. That is God's reaction to sin. He can't bear to look at it because it is so horrible and awful. But leprosy is also an alarming disease. This disease that Naaman had some alarming consequences for him. It had ended his brilliant military career. He'd been a great army commander, but now that was over. He'd won great victories for Syria, but that was all in the past. This disease had robbed him of his brilliant career. This disease had marred his whole life and was hastening him to an early death. It was not only an awful disease, but had some alarming consequences. And that is equally true of the spiritual disease called sin. It's awful, yes, but it's also alarming. You see, sin separates us from God. Sin cuts us off from fellowship with God. That's what the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, your iniquities have made a separation between you and God. Your iniquities, your sins, have come between you and God and separated you from God. And if you're not a Christian this evening, you have no fellowship with God at all. He's your maker. He's the Lord of the whole universe. But you have no fellowship with him at all. You know nothing about his presence. You know nothing about his peace, which passes understanding. Sin makes men and women feel miserable and empty. It's so obvious in society today. Like Naaman, men and women today have positions of power and authority and popularity, but they're still unhappy, even with all that they've got. They find life empty and aimless and meaningless. Some of them are honest enough to say that. Some of them have had great positions in the entertainment industry, but suddenly they've walked out on all of that because life is so empty and life is so miserable. Sin, you see, separates us from God and leaves an emptiness there. So you find men and women turning to drugs and pornography and drink, anything to dull the pain of living. Sin separates from God and leaves an emptiness within us. Sin separates from God, but worse than that, sin leads to eternal woe. It leads to eternal punishment. Naaman's leprosy was hastening him to an early physical death. But sin is worse than that. It's hastening us to what the Bible describes as an eternal death, eternal separation from God, eternal punishment in a terrible place called hell. That's not my teaching. That's the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Matthew 10, verse 28, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Yes, I say, fear him. Sin, this dreadful disease, has alarming consequences. It separates us from God now, but it will separate us from God and keep us out of heaven for all eternity and condemn us to a terrible place called hell. Jesus underlined that in the story he told, a true story. He's told a story about a poor man, Lazarus, who trusted in God and was carried by angels into the very presence of Abraham in glory. But there was a rich man who had no time for God. He also died. And Jesus said this, "In hell, he lifted up his face being in torments." Jesus, the Savior, said that. He lifted up his face in hell where he was in torments. But it was too late. Sin is a dreadful disease, not just awesome, but awful in its effects. Let me tell you something else about Naaman's disease. Awful, yes, alarming, yes, but also incurable, humanly speaking. Incurable, humanly speaking. No one in Syria could cure it. There is no instance in the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament, of a leper being cleansed, healed, apart from a miracle of God. There is no instance in the Bible of a leper being healed apart from a miracle of God. Humanly speaking, Naaman's disease was incurable. And humanly speaking, this disease called sin is incurable. There is nothing we can do ourselves to get rid of it. There is nothing that any ordinary person can do to get rid of it. No cleric with all his ritual can deal with this disease called sin. No do-gooder with all his good deeds can deal with this disease called sin. No priest with all his holy water can deal with this disease called sin. That holy water is no more holy than the water you use today to wash the dinner dishes. Useless in dealing with this matter of sin. No person on earth, no ritual on earth, can deal with this disease called sin. That was Naaman's complaint. Leprosy. Awful. Alarming. Incurable. That's a vivid picture of the disease of the soul which affects every man and woman in this world. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God we don't have to stop there. This man with his terrible complaint was eventually cured miraculously by God. There he is, you see, down in Syria, a leper, hopeless, helpless, dying. But the story finishes him with him being completely healed. How did it happen? I want to show you the steps that led to this man's healing. Perhaps there's someone here this evening who's come to realize that he or she is a guilty sinner in the eyes of God. Maybe you've come to realize that there's nothing you can do yourself to deal with this disease called sin. Let me show you the steps which led to the cure of this man, and how that illustrates how you can be cured from this disease called sin. For a start, God, in his wonderful way, brought Naaman into contact with one of his own people who could help him. Verse 2. The Syrians had attacked and defeated Israel, and among the captives they brought back was this young girl, and she had become the servant girl to Naaman's wife. And she was able to tell Naaman's wife of a person in Israel who could help Naaman, a man named Elisha. Was that coincidence? Was that just a stroke of luck on the part of Naaman? Not at all. This was the sovereign providence of God. God loved this man Naaman. God wanted him to be healed. And so in his love and mercy, he allowed this young woman from Israel to cross his path. It was God, verse 1, who gave the victory to the Syrians. It was God who brought Naaman into contact with this young girl, someone who knew the Lord and who knew about Elisha. Sometimes we sing a hymn which says, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. God moved in a mysterious way, allowing the Syrians to attack Israel, bring back captive this young girl, to tell Naaman's wife about someone who could cure her husband. She was a remarkable girl, wasn't she? I'm preaching about Naaman tonight, but one of these days I must preach about this young girl. What a bright, radiant witness she was. There, a slave girl in the house of Naaman, but so bright, so ready, so concerned about Naaman's soul, so concerned about his healing. Those of us who are Christians should be eager like that, like this young girl. But that's by the way. So God brought from Israel this young girl to help this man in dire need. And that is what she did. Maybe there's someone here this evening. Just recently, you've come into contact with a bright Christian who's concerned about you. This Christian has told you about someone who can cure you of this disease called sin. This bright Christian has told you of someone who can deal with this complaint which you're suffering from. Thank God for that. Don't ridicule them. Don't dismiss them. Don't tell them to clear off and go somewhere else. God has led this person across your path to tell you about someone who can deal with your sin. That was the first step in Naaman's cure, that this young girl told his wife about someone who could cure him. And we want to tell you tonight about someone who can cure you from this disease called sin. What next happened in the story? Well, the next step was a mistake. But there's an important lesson in that. Naaman went to the king of Israel, who was completely unable to help him. Verses 6 and 7. It would seem that Naaman didn't fully grasp all that this young girl had said to him. So on the advice of the king of Syria, he went to the king of Israel for help. But the king of Israel was totally helpless, totally incapable of dealing with his leprosy. Naaman looked for the cure in the wrong place. And the king of Israel rent his clothes. He felt there was someone trying to make war with him. He was totally helpless in dealing with this case of leprosy. And you'll find that when you become concerned about your soul and want something to be done about your sin, the devil will tempt you to look in the wrong place for help. Many people do that. They suddenly become concerned about their sin. They suddenly realize there's a God, and they've got to stand before him one day, and they become concerned about their sin. So they turn to good deeds. They say, well, no, I've lived a pretty bad life just now. If I do some good deeds, that will make amends for my sin and get rid of it. But it won't. Good deeds are totally helpless to deal with your sin. Other people look to some cult. They suddenly realize that not all is well with their lives. They've got to answer to God one day. And so they turn to the Jehovah's Witnesses, or they turn to the Mormons. But they can't help either. One of the finest Christians I've known, she, at a time of great need, became aware of her sin. First of all, she turned to the Mormons, but they couldn't help her. Then she went to a church where they didn't preach the gospel, a liberal theological church, didn't preach the gospel. They couldn't help her either. They didn't even believe in sin, let alone know the cure for sin. Eventually, she heard the truth and was converted. But there's always that great danger. Like Naaman, you see. He realizes there's something dreadfully wrong and he needs help, but he goes to the wrong place and doesn't get help. So beware that the devil doesn't tempt you to look in the wrong place for a cure from your sin. What happened next? Well, God intervened again. And somehow Elisha heard about this problem. So Naaman came to Elisha's house, and Elisha told him with great clarity, through a messenger, how he could be cured. Without any fuss, without any pomp and ceremony, without pandering in any way to this military commander, Elisha sent a messenger to him to tell him how to be cleansed from this disease. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Naaman heard very clearly the good news of how he could be cured. And if you're not a Christian this evening, above all else, you need to know and to hear the good news of how you can be cured, how you can be forgiven and saved. If you want to be forgiven and cleansed of all your sin and put right with God, if you want to be saved from hell and go to heaven when you die, then you must come as a poor, helpless sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ and plead with him to save you. That's your only hope. That's the only way. He came into this world and he died upon the cross to bear the punishment due to sinners like us so that we might be saved. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, all our sin and guilt is cleansed away. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saved for all eternity. That's the only way for our sin to be dealt with. We sang about it a little while ago. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. And some of us can sing that in the past tense. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away. Naaman stood on the doorstep of Elisha's house and heard the good news. How to be cured. What happened next? Well, Naaman made another foolish mistake. But one, a mistake repeated often these days. Naaman was angry when he heard Elisha's message, verses 11 and 12. Fancy telling me, the great commander of the Syrian army, to go and wash in that muddy river Jordan. I've never heard the like. Who does he think I am? Does he think I'm some down and out? Does he think I'm some nobody? Doesn't he realize I was the great commander of the Syrian army? And Naaman was very angry. You see, he was a proud man. And he'd come to Elisha's house. And Elisha didn't even come out. Elisha sent his messenger to speak to him and give him the good news, how he could be cleansed. But me? Go wash in the river Jordan. I come from Syria. And the rivers of Damascus, Abana and Pharpar, they're far better than the river Jordan. Can't I wash in them and be clean? He was angry about the message that was given to him. It's the same today when many people hear the Christian message that they must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, for their sins to be forgiven. They get very angry, very annoyed. I've seen people storm out of church, livid with anger. A man at my first Christmas service in my first church way back in 1964 on Christmas Day, stormed out and said, "I'm very angry. All this talk about sin. If it's the last thing I do, I'll get you out of the church." People get angry, you see, when they hear the truth about how sin can be dealt with. One day I was walking along the corridor in the Royal Bristol Infirmary, going to see a sick member of the church, when a nursing sister came and stood in my way and said, "I'm very angry with you. I'm very angry with you." As far as I knew, I'd never met her. "But I'm very angry with you. I hate being told I'm a sinner." It turned out that she'd been at a funeral service the day before that I conducted. And she was very angry. "I hate being called a sinner. I hate being told I need to be saved." And she marched off. But I did just catch up with her and say, "Look, can I tell you this? I don't like it when medical people like you stick a big needle in my arm and cause me pain. I don't like that. I hate that. But it's good for me. And you may hate hearing about sin and how to be saved, but it's good for you. It's the only way you can be saved." But she stormed off. But people get very angry, you see, like Naaman. Who does he think he's talking to? Telling me, the great commander of the army, to go and wash in that river Jordan. So having seen Naaman's complaint, having seen the cure offered to him by Elisha, let's look at the consequences. Naaman eventually saw sense. One of his servants said to him, "Look, why don't you do what that man said? Why don't you do what the man said?" So Naaman stopped his chariot, went down to the river Jordan, and obeyed, dipped himself 7 times, and a miracle happened. He was cleansed of his leprosy, a miracle of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, cleansed of all the festering sores. And the moment we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment we trust in him, all our sin and guilt is cleansed away. It's a wonderful thing. The moment you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sins to him, and ask him to be your Savior, trust in him. The very moment you trust in him, all your sin is washed away. Our hymns are full of this. One hymn says this: the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives, no matter what they've done. The vilest offender who truly believes in the Lord Jesus Christ receives a pardon. Another hymn: he breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me of all people, for you if you're a Christian. His blood has availed for you and has cleansed you from all sin. Yet another says this: some of the greatest words in the English language outside of the Bible. "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord of my soul." That's the first consequence. Naaman was cleansed. And the moment you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, all your sin will be cleansed away. Another consequence: Naaman had fellowship with God. Did you notice that? He says, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except the God of Israel." Previously, back home in Syria, he believed in many gods. But now he'd come to see the one and only true God. He'd come to believe in the one and only true God. And that is what happens when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He cleanses away all our sin, and he brings us into relationship with God the Father. And you know God as you've never known him before. And you know his peace, and you know his presence. You see, it was our sin which separated us from God. It was our sin which created a barrier between us and God. The moment we believe on the Lord Jesus, that sin is cleansed away. And we can come into the presence of God and know him as our Father. That leads to another consequence, fellowship with God and gratitude to God. Did you notice Naaman, when he was cured, returned to Elisha's house and wanted to give him a present? Some of that gold he'd brought with him. Some of that silver he'd brought with him. He was so grateful to God that he wanted to give Elisha a big present. Elisha refused, of course, because Elisha knew that this healing was nothing to do with him, really. It was a miracle of God. But you see, Naaman was so grateful that God had saved him, that God had cured this terrible disease. And my friend, if you become a Christian this evening and all your sin is forgiven, you become a child of God, you'll be the most grateful, thrilled person in Twickenham, thanking God. There's a chorus we used to sing, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me your great salvation, so rich and free." I sing that to myself almost every day, because God has been so good. And if you're forgiven, my friend, if your sin is cleansed away, you'll know God, you'll have fellowship with God, and you'll be eternally grateful to him for sending his son, allowing his son to die for you, and washing away your sin. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Then, joy as well. Naaman realized that now he was a believer in the wonder of God, there would be difficulties ahead. As a military commander, he was the leader of the Royal Protection Squad. And now that he was healed, he would be back on duty. And he knew that he would have to escort the king of Syria to the Temple of Rimmon, verse 16, to worship there. And the king of Syria would bow to the idol. And Naaman would be expected to bow to the idol as well. And that troubled him. What should he do? What should he do? Naaman doesn't give him a lecture on what he must do. He just says to Naaman, "Go in peace. Go in peace." Elisha says, in effect, "Don't worry about that problem just now. Rejoice in the fact that you've been cleansed from your leprosy. Yes, there'll be problems ahead, but God will help you. You go in peace. God will give you all the help you need when you have a difficult situation to face." When you become a Christian, life doesn't become all easy at once. Sometimes it becomes more difficult. As a Christian, you're faced with situations which are quite difficult, and you're not quite sure what to do, and you're worried about that. But my friend, God will help you. He'll guide you. When you're faced with that difficult situation, he will show you what to do. There's no need to panic now. He'll show you what to do. "Go in peace," said Elisha to this man. So Naaman the leper was cleansed of his leprosy. He had fellowship with God, great gratitude to God, joy in his heart and peace of mind. And those are the blessings which come to us when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this, you don't suddenly become perfect when you become a Christian. Naaman didn't suddenly become perfect. Did you notice that strange request he made in verse 17? He asked that now he was a worshipper of the God of Israel, he might take 2 mule loads of earth from Israel back to Syria. What a strange request. He felt that in order to worship God, he had to stand on some soil which had come from Israel. He was currently misguided, of course. You can worship God in any country of the world. People do. He was muddled, you see. And when you become a Christian, you won't see everything clearly straight away. There'll still be problems and difficulties. And sometimes you'll be a bit muddled. You won't be perfect, but you'll be cleansed. That disease will be taken away, and you'll have fellowship with God, and God will give you all the help that you need living out the Christian life. So that's the story of Naaman. My friend, it could be your story tonight. If you're not a Christian, this terrible disease called sin is still upon you, and it will have disastrous consequences for you. It will keep you away from God. It will keep you out of heaven. It will condemn you to a terrible place called hell. Jesus said that. But if you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in him, he will cleanse you from all your sin and give you fellowship with God, and you'll begin a new life, a life of gratitude to God for all that he's done for you.